Please take your Bibles and turn to John's Gospel this morning, John's Gospel chapter 1, and you'll find that on page 886 in the Bible on your seats, page 886 in the Church Bible, or page 1053 if you're using a large print version. John chapter 1, our sermon this morning is called The Word. And although I've printed here the first 18 verses, we'll only read just a few short verses this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Every year when we come to Christmas, to Advent Sunday, and to a short series of Christmas sermons like this, every single year I try to have a very simple aim over these Sundays. One main thing for us to take away as we enter the festive season. We're going to take just a very short break from Luke's Gospel in the mornings, and it's a chance for us, isn't it, in such a busy season. It's a season where maybe we are expected to feel all manner of things, pressure to feel all sorts of things, and yet for many of us the reality often comes up short, doesn't it? I hope these Sunday mornings are a help to you and a tonic for you, however you're feeling and however you're approaching Christmas this year. What we're going to do is look at John's Gospel, chapter 1, over four Sunday morning services. We're going to look at John 3:16, the most famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. We're going to look at that at the carol service. So we're going to look at the Word. We're going to look at the light. We're going to look at the witness. We're going to look at the glory. But every week, each time we do that, here's my one aim: to show us that Christmas always turns on its head everything we often think is true about God. Christmas, like nothing else, shows us that in the Bible, God is not like we often expect him to be. He's actually the opposite of what we so naturally expect. See, just think about what we've seen if you've been with us in Luke's Gospel the last few Sundays. Did you ever expect that it would be God? God, the one who wants to eat with broken sinners and lost sons. Did you ever expect it to be God himself who wants to fold sinners into his embrace and make them new? See, religious people, good living people, clean living people, Pharisees don't expect to find a God like that. What about last Sunday morning? Did you ever expect to hear Jesus say, "Look at that dishonest manager, there is something commendable in what he does"? And you see, Christmas shows us as clear as day that the God we find in the Lord Jesus Christ is not the kind of God we ever expected to find. John chapter 1, I hope we're going to see, turns on its head all that many people believe about God. See, if you were to take a survey of friends and family, people that you know, your colleagues outside Trinity, and ask them, what is religion? Well, I think if those folks that you know are like the folks that I know, folks who aren't interested in coming to church, aren't interested in God, Wouldn't folks like that say something like this? Wouldn't they say religion is, well, it's the long quest of humanity all across the world to find God. So the religion is the journey people go on in some form. They take their pick. One thing suits one, another suits another. Religion is the journey people go on to make contact with God. Whether it's God or Allah, or just a higher power, or a sense of the divine in some way, even if it is just a vague kind of hope that our loved ones, after they die, are looking down on us from the sky. Religion is about us trying to connect to someone or something out there. Friends, I hope you know that Christmas gives you and me the chance to turn the tables on that with our friends and family. Turn it around. What if it's the opposite? There is no story in the Bible, is there, of the conscientious sheep tracking down the lost shepherd? In the Bible, who goes looking for who? Who is lost? Who's the one hiding? Adam, where are you? No, you see, the story of the Bible is God to us, not us to God. The journey, the trajectory is the opposite of what we so often think and what so many people think. What if God came to find us and speak to us and live with us and die for us? So just two things for us to see this morning. These opening, very famous verses from John's Gospel. I want to show us two things. Number one, look at the scale of Christmas. God is bigger than we think. Number one, look at the scale of Christmas. God is bigger than we think. See, what happens in John's Gospel is that John totally changes the scale of Christmas. I hadn't really appreciated this before, but it's a very obvious point. Do you notice what is missing in John's Gospel? The opening chapters, there are no angels, no shepherds, no manger, no wise men, no star, no Mary, no Joseph. Do you notice that? We get the same theology, yes, make no mistake about that. Chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The eternal Son entered time. But we get a very different kind of story, don't we? In the beginning was the Word. So you just have a think about our introductions that we do with each other. Now, you may have that this morning. I hope you do, after coffee. Some new folks. We had new folks for dinner last Sunday. You know how it goes, doesn't it, around the table? What's your name? Where are you from? What do you do? It's part of the story. And then over lunch, you begin to talk more. Tell us, not just about you, tell us about your family. And the person says, well, my parents are here, and his parents are there, and they did this all their lives. And what happens is, as you talk, you slot the person you're talking to into an increasingly bigger picture. Here you are in Aberdeen, but now I know that you came from there. And your family came from over there. The further back we go with someone, the more we get to know about them, the more sense we have of them. Every person has roots, and every story has a context. Once upon a time, the story begins, and we know what kind of story we're listening to. In a galaxy far, far away. And we know what kind of story it is. And John says for us here, I'm going to tell you the story of Jesus. So let me give you some background. Let me give you some context. And what he does is he takes us back, way back, past Mary and Joseph, and the inn and the manger, and way back past the dusty streets of Bethlehem. I'm going to give you the big picture of Christmas, John says. Friends, look at the scale of it here. In the beginning was the Word. These are words that echo Genesis chapter 1, don't they? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John is saying that right back then, right back at the very beginning, the Word was there. This phrase, the Word, well, we're about to come to it in just a minute to think about why John calls him the Word and what that means for us. We're going to come to it. But it's obvious, isn't it, from verse 14 that the Word is Jesus. That's who he's talking about. The person who came to earth, who we know as Jesus, that one, John says, was with God in the beginning. He was turned towards God. He was in God's presence. A great phrase I heard this week is to say that he was God's peer, equal to God. And yet, look at the same time, he was God. He was not a creature. He was not a lesser kind of divine something. God's peer and, look, God's own self. This person, this divine someone who was with God and who was God, look what John says. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. See, John is saying, isn't he, as he introduces us to Jesus, I want you to know that there never was when he was not. There never was when he was not. And look, verse 2, all things, verse 3, all things were made through him. There never is that he did not make. There never is that he did not make. There never was when he was not, and there never is anything that did not come from him. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it mind-blowing every single year. Every single year. This is my favorite time of year in church. Mind-blowing that Mary, a virgin, gave birth to a baby. There formed in her womb a child uncaused by human means. Is that not incredible? John says to us, yes, that is pretty amazing. But let me expand it. Let me take you by the hand and let's just dial back time. Back from that womb, back and back and back. Through thousands of years of world history, before Mary and Joseph, all the way back into eternity, and however far back you go, Jesus, the Word, the peer of God, and the one who is God, however far back you go, you cannot reach the point where he was not there. Do you see what verse 3 adds to that? More than that. The Mary who bore him in her womb, and the shepherds who visited them, and the wise men who traveled, and the shepherds, and the camels, and the donkey, and the angels who spoke, the angels who spoke, the despotic king Herod who schemed, Elizabeth who sang, Zechariah who sang. John is saying in verse 3, every single one of them was made by him. Made by the one in the womb, made by the one in the manger. The nation of Israel who longed for their Messiah, the Romans who oppressed them, they were all made by him. Without him, nothing was made. And centuries of world history, right down to you and me today, was all made by the baby in the womb. We'll sing it, won't we, at some point over Christmas. See within a manger lies he who built the starry skies. Is it not incredible? Listen to these words. Here's Augustine, one of our greatest theologians. He said this, he is the revealer, talking about the Word here. He is the revealer of his Father and the creator of his Mother. The Son of God through his Father without a mother, and the Son of Man through his Mother without a father. He He is great in the eternal day of the angels, but becomes small in the time-conditioned day of men. He is the Word of God before all time, and the Word made flesh in the fullness of time. Maker of the sun, he is made under the sun. Disposer of all ages in the bosom of his Father, he consecrates Christmas Day in the womb of his mother. In him he remains while from her he goes forth. Creator of the heavens and the earth, he is born on earth under the heavens. Unspeakably wise, he is wisely speechless. Filling the universe, he lies in a manger. Ruler of the stars, he nurses at his mother's bosom. He is both great in the nature of God and small in the form of a servant. But his greatness is not diminished by his smallness, nor his smallness overwhelmed by his greatness. It's amazing, isn't it? Look, John says, at the scale of Christmas. One theologian has said, if God were small enough to be understood, he would not be big enough to be worshipped. I think here, though, in verse 3, there's even more about the scale of Christmas. Do you know what I think John is doing? He's writing here, isn't he, about the beginning of all things, right from the beginning of everything. Jesus, the Word, was there right back before. Well, here's John's point. Right back before there was anything wrong in the world, or spoiled in the world, or twisted, or evil, or tainted. Before there was a broken world, God made a good world. And before he made a good world, the Word was there. Perfect, unspoiled, untainted. You see, next week, John is going to show us this Word entering a world of darkness. This Word entered the world we broke, the world we've ruined. And so John starts right from the very beginning to give us just a hint of what Jesus is going to do. Creation flawed and creation spoiled is about to be entered by the perfect Creator. The only one left unspoiled is going to enter it to fix it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then we wrecked it. So is it all over? No, says John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God and was God. He made the world, and he entered our broken world by becoming flesh. He brought the perfect, sinless, spotless life of God into all our messed up stories. And he begins here in these pages. John is going to say he begins to write a whole new chapter in world history. Now just think about it. I thought about this this past week. Think about our world. What do we need to fix it? Everybody would say in some form, this happens every time elections come round. Democracies do this in some way, dictators do it in their own way. What do we need to fix our world? We need someone new. We need someone new. What happens when a leader has been in office 3-4 years? They're old, they're tired, their promises are broken. John says, yes, you need someone new to fix your world, but you need someone new from the very beginning. Someone who belongs in the chapter where it was not spoiled. So just take one example. Zimbabwe has entered, hasn't it now, a wonderful new chapter. That's the language. That's what people danced on the streets about, a new beginning. But just stop and ask yourself, how new is it? Over every change of government and every regime change, the headlines say a new beginning. Who is Zimbabwe's new leader? Someone who has been Robert Mugabe's right-hand man through some of his most brutal moments. Now, maybe he will be different. Maybe he will be different, but is he new? No. Think about your own life. How many new beginnings would you like? I guess the older we get, the more we'd like. Isn't that right? How many fresh starts would you grab with both hands if you could? Do you have things in your life that you're looking at and thinking to yourself, why did I do that? How could I do that? I regret that. I'd love to rewind and start again. See, John is saying to us, when you meet Jesus, you meet someone from the very beginning. You meet someone from the very start of everything. He comes to our world as one of us, like us in every way, but, well, he's from the beginning. He's without sin. Born of Mary so that his humanity is true, but born of a virgin so that his humanity is new. He comes to make the world new, to make the world new. See, friends, Christmas shows us God is greater than we think. He's not interested, is he, in us doing our best to try and find our way to him? No, it's the opposite. The creator of the world enters the world to renew the world, to seek and save the lost and the lame and the hurting and the harming and the sick and the sinful. He comes to bring creation back to what it was meant to be and to who you and I were meant to be. I wonder if you believe that this year and if you will see that, maybe for the first time, looking at the baby in the manger. A new beginning for you, for our world. God is so much bigger than we think. Whatever situation you are in this morning, whatever you've brought with you to church this morning, whatever situation it is, Jesus has come to it. Jesus has come to it. Number one, look at the scale of Christmas. God is bigger than we think. But number two, look at the clarity of Christmas. God is closer than we think. Look at the clarity of Christmas. God is much closer than we think. In the beginning was the Word. The Word. Ben has already spoken to us, hasn't he, about names given to Jesus. Branch of Jesse. Key of David. And John says, the Word. Remember how God made the world? If you go to Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do it? By speaking, by his word. God spoke and said, let there be light, and there was. Psalm 33, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. And through the Bible, this picture of the word being what God uses to get things done, through the Bible it just grows and grows, so that John now says to us, that word that God uses and speaks is actually a person. With God, he is God, and as the Word, he is God's own self-expression. See, if you're going to reveal yourself, you know that, don't we? If you're going to show yourself to someone, what do you need? Photographs help. Facebook helps. But you need words. Words. I wonder if you'll agree with me. I think for many people, they think that religion is a bit like moving into a new flat. If any of you have ever done this, you move in on the first floor, two floors above you. There's two floors above you. And after a couple of days in your new flat, you hear footsteps creaking on the ceiling above you. The floorboards move a little. Someone is there. You know someone is there, but you have not met them or seen them. You have not been introduced to them. Isn't that what religion is like? Many people will say, look, there must be someone above us, someone out there, a higher power looking down on us. Every now and again I get a sense of him or her or it. But how can we know? It's just like floorboards creaking in the night. Bertrand Russell, the atheist philosopher, he's reported to have been asked, someone said to him, when you die and you discover that there is a God, and he asks you, why didn't you believe in me? What will you say? And Bertrand Russell said, I'll say to him, there was not enough evidence to believe in you. Not enough evidence. Many people feel like that, don't they? At best, we hear creaking floorboards above us. Someone might be there, but who? Well, imagine you keep living in your flat. You settle in, the weeks pass, you see mail collecting in the hallway for the person in the flat above you. The mail says Sam Smith. And you begin to build a picture in your mind of Sam. Maybe he's 6 foot, blonde hair, maybe he works in Tesco's. But it's all guesswork, isn't it? Until one day there's a knock on your door and you open it and there's a red-haired woman standing there saying, hi, I'm Samantha. Now, even sight in that instance does not introduce you to the person, does it? It is words that reveal. Words reveal reality. Words reveal the truth about a person. John is saying to us, God has a word. And he didn't just speak that word, he sent that word into our world so that if you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. If you want to know who God is, listen to Jesus. In the beginning was, well, how might we put it? In the beginning was God's perfect self-expression. And he is not up there creaking in the clouds. He became flesh. He lived and breathed and walked and taught. So I think we want to say, don't we, to the person who says, not enough evidence. Don't go to the creaking floorboards in the sky to try and answer them. We want to say always, don't we, just how closely have you looked at Jesus? How much have you examined him? Let's never be abstract when we talk about God. Let's talk about Jesus. See, John is saying the words and the deeds of Jesus are the words and the deeds of God. And so God is much, much closer than we think. It's why Christmas is either a sick, cruel joke, isn't it? Or the greatest story on earth. Many people love this time of year, of course, don't we? For the lights, I guess mainly for the nostalgia. And the carols, maybe, or the parties. But what if underneath all of it, there really isn't anything? No virgin mother, no divine baby, just made up stories in a made up book. And we all go along with the pretense, like Richard Dawkins, who loves singing carols each year at Christmas. But it's like Santa. Christmas like that is a sick joke. A distraction, momentary distraction from the harsh reality of our lives. But you see, if it's true, if it's really true that God's own word entered our world and spoke the words of God to the world he'd made, the world that had gone wrong. If that own word gave his life for guilty rebels, for lost sons, for wounded sinners. Isn't John saying to us, wonder of wonders, God himself is here with us. And among us and has shown us who he is. What if God this morning is as real as bread in the hand and wine in the mouth? What if God has come that close to you, to me? God is bigger than we think. And so as we come to the Lord's table together, may it be that we experience and know He's closer, so much closer than we think. Amen.